Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Mike's going to share the word with us. If we could I have everyone, if you're able Amen. And willing, could you all stand, please?
Thank you, Lord.
And what we have every single week, almost without exception, is we always pray for two churches, and we love opening up the Word of God. It's our safe place, it's our harbor, it's a compass, it's life, it's heaven's connection with us.
Amen.
And His kindness, our Heavenly Father has given us the Word of God that we might understand, that we might have a fabric to place all of this life and its craziness in a proper perspective. The Word of God is true, and let every man be a liar. The Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
So why do we make it a priority? It's what God says about things. It's His opinion. So Father, this morning we thank you,
God,
for the Word of God.
Amen.
Thank you for truth.
Yes, God.
Throughout generations, throughout hundreds and thousands of years. Father, I thank you for the integrity of the Bible. Yeah. Lord, we want to take it this morning, hear it, mix it with faith, that it would produce fruit and fruit that remains. Father, I pray that you give Mike all liberality to share everything that you've placed in his heart for us this morning, Lord, that we could impact this generation for you, King Jesus. Bless him, bless us, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Michael.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Tom and I had talked way back, just give a little background as we kind of build my introduction here, in early May, and I had in my heart the theme of a message that Charles Simpson, those in the group that know Charles, was an excellent preacher, minister, that a lot of us, as we grew up in the Lord, had the pleasure of having him sow into our lives. And one of the messages that Charles had brought years back, and I actually didn't hear the entirety of it, but it was the message about the likeness of the kingdom of God to a football game. So there is going to be some themes this morning relative to that. But more importantly, we are continuing today in the series on presence. So I'm excited to say my theme, or I should say my title this morning, is Take the Presence. Take the Presence. So for those of us that are in the room or are more astute than others, you might begin to connect the dots even with just that theme, that message, that title. But my goal is to just impact us. And I love what Kim shared last week as she was sharing on giving. But the scripture, Kim, that you brought, which I don't know it off the top of my head, but it was on not neglecting the former, but doing the additional. And so my message today, just to be clear, isn't to rebuke us as a body. It isn't to scold us and say, make a 90-degree turn and go do something different and let go of what we are doing that we're successful in. That's not my message. It's to not neglect what we've done so well, which I believe is fellowship, worship, connecting within and sharing with one another. But it's also getting out into the world and being missional, okay, sharing the gospel. I think that's one of the hardest things as all of us as Christians. Why? Because it's challenging. It's hard for us to get out of our shells and do something that's uncomfortable. I remember when I was at Mizzou years and years ago, if I can date myself, one of the things that I just became really aware of as a young Christian was a lot of churches are just real comfortable in their four walls, but I don't see them out there in the world sharing the gospel. Now, I did start running into some on campus that were connected to ministries like, now it's called CRU, or Campus Crusade for Christ, and there's others like Navigators. They were just really doing a wonderful work on campus, reaching out to the people and sharing the gospel. And so I made it kind of a goal of myself to get outside myself and begin sharing. And now by the time, it took me about a year and a half, and I had a really strong brother that I related with at that point in time. His name is Gary Leibovich. Some of you may know him, I'm not sure, but Gary was an awesome professor of the gospel, just getting out and sharing. And he helped me get outside of myself, because I normally am very, I would say introverted is my tendency, But by the time Gary and I had gotten through a long and strong season together, and that involved, I think, probably like a year and a half in a house. We were staying in a house together. It was called the Lion Street Brothers House. It was in at the campus in Mizzou. And there was a group of six of us that were going to the church there. It was called Christian Fellowship. But by the time kind of Gary's influence in my life happened, there came a time when he and I actually were on campus there. Those of you know what I believe it's called Lowry Mall, there at the mall area right there by the campus. And Gary and I had gone, we went into the McDonald's and just proclaimed out loud, stopped everyone right in the middle of their meal. I can't believe now that we actually did this. And said, we want you to come outside. We're going to be preaching the gospel in just a few minutes. And so Gary and I, over the course of time, probably at least on 10 occasions, did outdoor preaching there on Lowry Mall to the students just without any permission, which there came a day when Gary got arrested for doing that. So it was interesting. Then the church had to go pull him out of jail. Gary thought of it like, hey, just like the book of Acts. I could just, he was charged up. This is, I'm just walking it out just like those guys in the book of Acts. So anyway, it didn't ended that we had to go get permission. We formed this organization. Long and the short, we did it in an organized fashion. And so it became something that I had some regularity in, getting on that campus and sharing the gospel. And then over the years, the Lord has really provoked me in different means and different ways to continue that. But this morning, I want to share on this message, which is really the Lord put on my heart, as I said, as I was talking to Tom, which is really getting outside of the huddle. Isaac Little, one of our brothers, has come and preached a lot, has really shared this a lot. And this ties into that Charles Simpson message that I just mentioned. But so often we get to where in the Christian's, I guess, arena, if you will, we stay in the huddle. We don't get out of it. We're in the huddle where we get encouraged. We hear the strategy. We hear what we're supposed to do. We have the team organized very orderly. We know who's in charge. We know all the different players in their position. But do we ever get out of that huddle and get into the game? And so that's what I want to share on this morning and provoke us to, is getting out of the huddle and getting into the game. And I think we're getting to that place, right, where we're turning around and are turning the corner toward the football season this fall. And for those of us that are baseball fans in the room and saying, Mike, I don't want to be talking about football yet. We're still in the baseball. Okay, let's talk about the dugout then. Whatever you want to say, we want to get into the game, right? And so I think that's the issue that we have so often as the body of Christ, is that we don't get out into the game. And there's a point for the huddle. There's a point for the sideline in the football game, right? The sideline could be a place where the players are getting healed. Maybe they've been injured. Maybe the player just got off the field and the coach is mentoring them and telling them what to do when they do what? Get back in the game. So I think for us, it's just so often that we need someone to just push us in that particular arena. And I so enjoyed today not only Rick's word, which I thought was just exceedingly on point with what I wanted to share, agents out there, and then everything that Holly shared and even Tom about the presence. But the first scripture I want to talk about as we kind of get into the body of my message is 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 17. And so if you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 17. And this is reading from the ESV. But thanks be to God who in Christ leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ, God, to those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, the fragrance from death to death, and to other, the fragrance of life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight we speak in Christ. Yes. Wow. So God's called us, what? To get out and to be an aroma, to be the fragrance of Jesus amongst the world. And it's his desire for us to take the presence that we have of God within us and do what? Influence, be an aroma,
yes,
be a sweet, savory flavor to the world. And even as we're going to get into some examples this morning, I love what Holly was sharing about what the Perrymans are going to be doing with Camp Powell, because that is just such a great living example. You can just exactly picture that we have that ability in that arena to infect those young people with Jesus, with his presence, because it's in us, right? If Mark Levesque were here, and I don't think he's here this morning, I know he's big on Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just that truth, that revelation that so often we forget. When we're out there in the world, when you're at work, when you are interfacing with people in the world, you have an opportunity to infect, influence, touch them with the presence of Jesus. And we trust that people will be changed. You may not see it, but I think we've got to not let go of the fact that there is that impact that we have, and make sure that we continue in faith and don't neglect and get tired of doing good. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. All right. Next thing we want to talk about, in addition to influencing his presence, is just a wonderful scripture in the Old Testament that I ran across. It's Exodus 33, verses 12 to 16. And I thought this was just so on point. Here we are, Old Testament. It's just kind of cool. And I've been blessed, by the way, for those that want to get a little, I don't know what you want to get, provoked to get back into the Bible reading, if you haven't, or maybe you started the year with Bible reading. I've been doing, as I know I've talked up here several times, do a lot of audiobooks, but I've been doing the audiobook starting in the Old Testament. I started shortly before the beginning of the year, and I just got into the book of Job. So I've gone through all those different books in the Old Testament, some of which I know can get a little dry. You get through Leviticus and some of the different books in the Old Testament, but there is just some wonderful truths. And so as we get into Exodus 33 here, verses 12 to 16, I'm going to read it. Exodus 33, 12 to 16. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, I just love this, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring me up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people?" And here we are. This is just such a wonderful part of the scripture too. "Is it not, and you're going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" So it ties right into what Tom was sharing earlier, a distinct people, separated. Separated apart for what? For purpose. Purpose of influencing the world with the presence of God. Awesome. Old Testament. Isn't that cool? You would think this is New Testament, but no. This is Old Testament. I just love it. All right. Continuing on. One of the other things I think that I was provoked and just as I prepared for this message was this whole concept of dualism. For those in the room that know what I'm talking about, basically the theme is just tied in exactly with what I talked about in my introduction, which is you're separating your life. You have this Christian part of your life and this secular part of your life. So you go into life thinking that, well, on a Sunday, I'm going to do the spiritual thing. And on a Monday through Friday, when I'm out there at work, in the world, or whatever it is that you're doing, called to do, you're living a secular life. And God did not intend for us to have that mindset. He wanted us to have a different mindset. I had a couple quotes here as I researched this just briefly that I wanted to read, but one of them was this. It said, "The cosmic, gargantuan, 24/7 kingdom of God cannot be shrunk down to a few hundred people singing songs in a nice building for an hour every weekend. Instead, our response to God should reverberate into every facet of our life, at home, at work, in our families, in our communities, and at our churches." And I'm guilty of it. I know that in my life, I've done this over the years, and you get into Monday, you get into Tuesday, you get into your routine, and you like let go of the mentality that you had when you were here on Sunday morning in prayer with John in the back. You view your everything so spiritual there in a way, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but on Thursday when you get up and you go to work, are you praying like you do on Sunday morning? Because Thursday you're going to have the opportunity to influence the world.
Yes.
Sunday you may not.
Yes.
Wow. I'm preaching this to myself as much as you, so please. I felt just as in early May when Tom and I were sharing with each other and just chatting, the Holy Spirit just wouldn't let it go. I just kept feeling nudged about this theme of the huddle. We got to get out of the huddle and get into the game. And I think, like I said, Isaac's done such a good job as he's come from time to time and provoked us in that manner. Okay, second quote that I wanted to share about this theme of dualism. It's from someone that you might view as old school, but I think it's good to sometimes touch on these individuals. It's the great preacher Charles Spurgeon. Probably a challenging guy to read if you're going to read a whole book by Charles. Rick, have you ever read a book by Charles Spurgeon?
Not completely.
Not completely. Well, he's done some of it, done more than I. So let me read this. I think it's really good. "To a man who lives unto God, nothing is secular. Everything is sacred. He puts on his workday garment, and it is a vestment to him. He sits down to his meal, and it is a sacrament. He goes forth to his labor, and therein exercises the office of the priesthood. His breath is incense, and his life a sacrifice. He sleeps on the bosom of God, and lives and moves in the divine presence. To draw a hard and fast line and say, this is sacred and this is secular, is, to my mind, diametrically opposed to the teaching of Christ and the spirit of the gospel."
Yes.
Wow, powerful. Just really, really good. It's just so convicting to just think about that and think that God's called us to wind our lives with the theme of Jesus in everything that we do. And the scripture's clear about that, right? The scripture in Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them."
Amen.
Wow. We are carriers of his presence. We are carriers of it. We're missionally commanded to go forth and walk in these works that God has prepared for us beforehand. All right. Okay. Examples. Wow, I've reached the place in my message where I wanted to just kind of honor some different individuals, because I think, you know, as people have always shared with me over the years, Mike, you've got to give examples as you're sharing, because it just helps bring home the message that we're talking about. And I think so many in the body here are walking this out, and I just want to commend each of them and provoke those of us that aren't walking in this strongly. And my message today is to help us begin. Now, you may find yourself where, Mike, this is just overwhelming. I don't even know where to start. Well, we're going to get there. I'm going to get to my great but how section here in a minute. But we want to start small. You don't have to start huge. And we can continue to move. I love what Holly was sharing. It started with 8 kids. Now it's up to 44. So it's grown. It's grown in its influence. And those of us that have stepped out in different ways in our lives would probably all testify that we started small and we've grown. And so I love all that the Medeiros are doing years back with Sparrow's Nest, and as they've moved forward and are influencing and working with Lauren Smith on the school. Right across from us is just such a wonderful opportunity. And now that we've moved into the backpack outreach, what better examples are we seeing in those situations? Andrea Worm, I want to just commend her for her influence as a teacher. I know she's won awards for that and has just been recognized for her influence, her aroma of Jesus, and the way in which she teaches and shares and ministers, excuse me, to those students. Brent Griffith, I love the testimony of the home that you've had, excuse me, I'm getting emotional here, with the different individual men over the years in the home and the opportunity that you've given them to get established. Such a wonderful example. Rich Sontag, I love the opportunity that you get in your day-to-day Uber driving and praying for and ministering Christ to people. It's such an awesome example of what I'm talking about here, that you're missional as you do your job. You know, you desire to see Jesus influenced in people's lives. Yogi and Rick, all the work that you guys did just in stepping out in North City after the tornado and moving there and stepping out and desiring to bring Jesus, bring the aroma of Christ. It's just, it's awesome. Derek, your influence and the Castle Bombs, just in terms of the love and action, the introduction to Cedric and Amani, just all the different relationships and how that's been brought into our body. Obviously, we honor originally your dad, who's now passed away, but just the honoring that happened and his influence and all that he's done over the years. All of these are examples of just bringing the aroma of Jesus Christ into the world. All right, so let's get to great but how here. I think it's important for us to understand two different things, both the how are we going to get to a place where we're stronger in this so we can do it, right? I can have a goal to start working out. I want to get stronger, I want to get in shape. But I got to know, what do I need to do basically, practically, to kind of start moving in that direction? You can't just go and get that done in a day, right? So, number one, recognize the power of the presence of God in your life to transform you. Recognize the power of the presence of God in your life to transform you. That's important. You got to have faith that God is in you and that God is in you to help transform the world. All right, number two, for those taking notes, recognize the world. Who is it that you come into contact with on a daily, a weekly basis that you have an opportunity to take the presence of God to? And that's a mind shift, if you will. In other words, you might just not think of it that way. How often, and I remember Mark Levesque sharing about going into the gas station and praying for the person behind the cash register. There's so many other examples where we're so missional, if you will, in our what we're is that we're trying to do, that sometimes we forget about, what about that person that we're interfacing with? It can be at the store, it could be anywhere. Are we looking at it as though they're the individual in the world that we are called to influence and to share with? Wow. All right, number three, cultivate his presence in you. All right, so we've been doing this theme series on presence, and we want to recognize that the presence of God is in us. All right, I've already talked about that. But how do we cultivate it? In other words, kind of make it grow and flourish within our lives. Well, there's some things that I believe that we can do, and that I'd say the key item there would be abiding in Christ and spending time with him. And so the scripture I wanted to bring up on this is John 15, verses 4-5. And it says this, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, we can do, or you can do, nothing. God has called us to connect to him, right? To pray, to worship, to read, meditate, learn, all of these things, to be influenced by the Spirit of God and to cultivate the presence of God in us. It can be a very easy thing. If you're going to work, pray while you're going to work. God, is there an opportunity that I have today to share with somebody? Maybe just to pray with them. Maybe they're down and out. Maybe there's something going on with a family member. I'm from time to time of late running into more and more individuals whose either parents have passed away tragically without warning, or they need to care for loved ones that haven't had to think about that ever in their lives before. And it's tasking them. I see that very practically. We're just so used to not having certain things to be responsible for outside of our normal sphere of duties and responsibilities in life. And when things like that come into our lives, and you're going to see individuals, so I'm kind of cluing you in here, in the workplace, in your life, that are dealing with this. This is probably a very common one that you could pray for those individuals. Just speak a word of encouragement to them. I think it's just such a wonderful opportunity that we can have to influence people in the world for Jesus. All right, number four. Know and be convinced that you are a temple of his presence and that you can shift the atmosphere. Wow. So we are carriers of his presence. We can get into situations where things might be going kind of a different way than we would like. Maybe there's an argument going on. Maybe there's a very contentious situation. Maybe it's just people are talking very negatively. And we are there in that situation. And I think God can call us, has called us, to bring Jesus, to bring his perspective in those situations. And we can do that. It doesn't take a lot of energy. Talk about starting small. There's something that you can do to just think of something positive to bring about in that situation that will influence that. People notice the way in which you interact. People notice the way in which you affect them. And like I said, that can shift the atmosphere. That's kind of a pretty cool thing that you can do yourself. And then so finally, sharing, number five would be sharing his presence. So talk to Rich. I'm sure, Rich, when you started small, you have different ways of winding in the gospel into your presentation. You got a writer jumping into your vehicle. How's your life? What's going on in your life? Oh, really? And then intertwine that and begin to share encouragement. Can I pray for you? There's an easy thing to do.
Yes.
Can I pray for you? People appreciate that. Even unbelievers, it's amazing that they can be so receptive to just that simple, well, can I pray for you? We can do that. Cool.
Beautiful.
All right. So now finally, I want to do a few examples before we close this morning. And sharing with Tom and I had breakfast the other day, and was kind of asking him for a few examples in this arena of starting small. So you got to start somewhere, right?
Yes.
One of the things that he shared was just getting to know the name of your neighbor. Do you know? Now I'm guilty of forgetting the names of my neighbor. That's because of my age. But do you know the names of your neighbors? Have you ever met them? Have you ever even gone over and said hi? Have you bring him something like a plate of cookies or something to eat? Or go over and ask them if you can help them out at any point in time. Simple things. And I know Tom shared an example that he and Randy went through where they ended up learning that there was some individuals that lived right across the street from them, and they didn't even realize it, or they had to have them tell them, we lived right across the street from you. And so it became kind of a little bit of an embarrassing situation there, in that it's such an opportunity that we have to do that. And so I would encourage you to do that. You never know where relationships go. You never know what the Holy Spirit may bring about in terms of a divine appointment later with that individual that you've reached out and shared with. The backpack drive that we're doing, wow, this is a great example of starting small and getting an opportunity to influence, join in. Next example would be sign up for helping Holly and Rick. What a better opportunity to do it. It's in your lap today to do that. So I think that's just such an awesome example as well of something we can do. Another opportunity for those that live in this O'Fallon area, and even if you're a little outside of it, we did, my wife and I did this. She's the one that deserves the credit for hearing about this and finding out about it. But the restaurant, the Brass Rail, which is on Highway K down there, I didn't know about this. I guess did we do it 2 years ago? Just this past year. I think we knew about it 2 years ago. But every Thanksgiving, they have this ministry where they let people pick up meals that are prepped, and then you get to take them out to someone that signed up. Hey, I would like to get a Thanksgiving meal, because either these people are in a hardship situation. I mean, there are some qualifiers that they do for those that would get a meal. It's such an awesome thing. When we drove up, there was like, was at least a half a mile long of cars in a line waiting to pick up a meal. So you would, like, you pull up, open your trunk, they put the meals in, and they hand you, I think that we started with two meals, and they hand you two addresses. And so you literally put them in your thing, you got the name of the people, and you show up at their doorstep and give them a meal on Thanksgiving morning. Such a cool, cool thing. We ended up circling back and finding out we were so blessed by that opportunity. Can we do it again? And so there was like this, yeah, they had, I don't know how many meals left. So they gave us like another three or four, and we got to go then do those three or four more. And so talk about something that's really satisfying. It was just really kind of a cool thing to just share God's love and his presence. Wow. All right. So just in closing, and we'll pray, but and I would like, if it's okay with Tom, I would like at the appropriate time for the prayer team as well, to just give you all an opportunity for those that might want to respond and just say, you know what, Lord, I'm provoked. This message has touched me, and I want to do this. I have a hard time. I leave the doors, the four walls of Life Church. I have every intention of moving into the very thing that Mike was sharing on this morning, and then I just don't do it. And so I'd love to have that opportunity for individuals to respond and just say, Lord, here I am. I want to be involved. I want to share your presence outside of the walls of Life Church. Yes. In whatever facet it is. I'm willing to start small, but the scripture is so clear, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. And every day we're all out in the world, and we have an opportunity to be involved with those who are perishing. And I even find myself, it's interesting, I work with a lot of very successful people who are doing well, I guess you could say, in life from a very secular perspective. But there's time to time that I'm stopped by the Holy Spirit, and I realize some of these individuals will face the judgment of God eternally. And whether they've been successful and have made a fortune in their lives and live very well-to-do lives, what value, if they get to that place, will they look back and they think, was it worth it? Of course, they would say no. They would wish, what? That they would have responded to the aroma of Jesus that you would bring to them in their lives. All right, so let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for your word this morning. Lord, we say that we need your help. We need the influence of Jesus to prod us, to encourage us, and to strengthen us. To give us, God, just the grace to begin moving in the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ outside the four walls of Life Church. And I just pray for every individual here, God, that you would help us to start small, that you would help us to step out, that you would help us to begin adding something into our lifestyle, Lord, that may not have been there or that needs to get strengthened. And God, I just pray right now in Jesus' name for every person here, for the power of God to begin to transform them into agents of purpose, just as Rick shared this morning, into the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, can I go ahead and have the prayer team come on up? I've invited Rich. I'm going to have him do just a quick GBH. Super quick, 60-second GBH. Have the prayer team come on up real quick. It's funny, Mike and I, you know, Mike was sharing with you that we didn't know our neighbors' names. I did I was officiating a funeral 15 years ago at Main Street Church for a very, very dear friend, Terry Brooks. Many people will know the name. And I did this funeral service for this dear, dear friend of mine. And some people came up and talked to Randy. And they said, hey, hi. And their greeting was, hey, how you doing, neighbor? And Randy said, hi. They live directly across the street for 10 years from us. They said, Pat Harrison. Some of you know that name. Pat and Barb Harrison. We used to go to church together years ago. And they're like, oh, hi, Pat Harrison, neighbor of 10 years, don't even know your name. And so sometimes I always find it such a challenge to interact, to broach those things, you know, because, you know, we know Noel on this side, Jeremy and Regina on this side, but there's a whole community all around us all the time. And what do you say? And so this is Rich. This is Rich Sontag. We used to play baseball together. He can't hit, can't throw, but he was an easy strikeout for me. Love this man. Sorry, Rich. He's actually a pretty good baseball player. Well, again, you know, delusions of grandeur. That's right. So Rich is who Mike just referenced, the Uber driver. I've known this gentleman for 45 years. Awesome, awesome man of God. Heart for the lost. Reaches people for Jesus every day. And so this is totally off the cuff, not prepared. Rich, what two questions do you ask someone just right away that causes an interaction to get outside of my bubble of I'm just moseying down through life? What two questions, Rich, do you engage people in?
Do I get as much time as you get?
60 seconds.
Okay. A few years ago, Denzel Washington said, quit seeking to make a living, make a difference. And I decided every career I did, quit seeking to make a living, especially young people, make a difference. And the living will follow a difference. I did that by getting an Uber car to Jim Zielinski. But I started two businesses, and then that, I fell in love with Uber, which I still do to this day. But the number one question I say is, how are you doing? And I look at him in the eye, and I listen. And that's Philippians 2, 3, and 4. It says, be humble. Get off yourself. You know, treat others better than you would treat yourself. Take interest in them and what they're doing, and listen well. That's the number one thing. Number two thing is I pay attention to where they're at in life. Their 20s, if they're in your 20s, you're seeking career, money, success. So I pay attention to their career, and I recommend books to see if it'll open up. It always does. In your 30s, you're getting established. In your 40s, there's a lot of loss. There's a lot of change in your 40s. In your 50s and 60s, you're retiring. So I try to get into their psyche. In 20s, for example, a couple weeks ago, I took a ride. I run two or three apps, and I took a ride, and you take one for money, and the other one, you take, you get hits, these hits. But anyway, I took this one, it was Rachel, and it was only $20. So I got another one for 40. I was like, okay, I'm going to stick to Rachel's. Rachel gets in my car, and I said, well, you're my divine appointment today. And she goes, really? I go, usually ain't that bold. And she goes, what does that look like? I said, well, it's where you remember a conversation you'll never forget. So I talked to her about her career, and she was very unhappy about her career. And I recommend StrengthFinders 2.0, and that really opens up a door. But in the end, she said, I said, what do you think about God? She says, it's really interesting. She says, I'm seeking. My dad's Jewish. My mom's Christian. And it opened up to a divine appointment. It was awesome. So every day, I have a divine appointment.
Okay, so here's the question real quick. You may be like me and think, oh my gosh, my heart beats so much to tell people about Jesus, but in the back of my mind, what do I say? How do I initiate? If that is you, this man, Rich Suntek, has boldness and courage. So we have a prayer team up for needs, whether it's financial, emotional, whatever the challenges are. We have people who want to, as points of contact, to pray with you and for you. But if you struggle with interacting with people in the world, we've been talking about taking the presence out, I want Rich Suntek to pray for you just for boldness and courage, and maybe ask him one quick question, because he wants to pray for lots of people this morning. What question would you ask? Again, part of it is just getting involved in somebody's life, asking a question, getting outside. Hey, Clive. Good morning, my friend. Didn't see you over there. Wonderful man of God, changing nations. So can we all stand, please? We're going to close. Thank you, Mike. Powerful. Father, help us, help me to get outside of my world and to realize whether someone is a CEO, they're so successful, they've got a massive house. What do I have to say? Father, I have the words of life inside of me to save them from eternal destruction. Lord, you've placed me supernaturally, sovereignly by your will to interact with people. Lord, give me strategies, give me questions, give me something to say. How do I actually broach the conversation in a meaningful way, in a caring way, not to manipulate? But Father, cause me to understand how to engage and interact with people in real ways, meaningful questions. Father, help me. I want to take your aroma into this broken world that people smell Jesus when they encounter me, when they encounter us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
One thing, Lord, dawned on me one time. There's a scripture in scripture. Jesus said, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl, but he sets it in the room so it can give light to everyone around it. And I always took that to mean, yeah, I need to keep my bowl uncovered. But then I pondered it. He's saying he lit our lamp. He placed us in the room. He doesn't cover it. Now, I believe that, and I've seen it happen, you can go places and you can even keep your mouth shut. But God brings you into a situation where he takes the bowl off your head. Right, Rich? So every one of us has had our lamp lit. You don't need to be afraid of letting your light shine, because it will shine.
Amen. Do you want to pray? Have someone pray for boldness who does it every single day. Can I just encourage you? Take the opportunity. Come up. Just let Rich pray for you, lay hands on you, and let's go change the world. Amen? Amen. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.